Welcome to the pulpit ministry of Christ Community Church in South Florida, aiming to make, mature, and multiply disciples by preaching and teaching God's Word based on the sufficiency of Scripture. And now, let's join our preacher for the message.
So, I don't know if all of you know this, but I'm going to set up a little something real quick here. Do you know that today is also a day to say Happy Hanukkah? That tonight, when the sun goes down, sunset, today is the first day of Hanukkah. And I don't know if all of you understand that Jesus celebrated Hanukkah, that he was actually in the temple during the Festival of Lights. If you read it in the King James, it would actually say Hanukkah. And Hanukkah means dedication, or it's also called the Festival of Lights. The reason why it's called dedication is because they had to rededicate the temple after they had been attacked by the Syrians, and the temple had been profaned, but miraculously, Hanukkah commemorates a time when they came in and they had to use the oil to keep the service of the temple going. Only one flask of oil had survived. There was a special oil that we read about when the temple is built. There's a recipe on how to make this holy and separate oil that could only be made for the temple service. And so they only had one flask left that had not been desecrated, and that oil somehow miraculously, historically, the Jews celebrate that it lasted for 8 days. It should have only lasted for 1 day, but it lasted for 8. And so you have a menorah, and there are 4 candles typically on one side and 4 on the other side. But interestingly enough, I believe that the things that happened in the history of Israel, in many ways, anything when it came to miraculous things, that God was pointing to himself. And that in that pointing to himself, he was pointing to Christ, God in the flesh. You see, the 9th candle that sits in the middle of the menorah, and I have to do this with an electric light because we can't light candles in here, else we could have lit a nice candle for you today. But this light is called the attendant or the servant, the shamash. And it is the servant light that lights all the other candles and brings light into the world. So I believe that this light, the shamash, is named that way because it was going to tell of the true light, Jesus coming into the world, because everything in the temple itself talks of Jesus. If you were to break down the temple and all that's in the temple itself. The other aspect of this is that they had to rededicate the temple. And these things just kind of came to mind that there's times where we have to rededicate ourselves, where we have to take hold of ourselves and purify our hearts and minds. And Jesus came to bring about a light that would purify again and rededicate these temples so that they could have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. So there's a lot about Hanukkah that reminds me of Christ. So I would say to all of you, Happy Hanukkah as well. Though you may not celebrate it, our Lord did as a good Jewish boy. With that said, let's pray and let's ask the Lord just to speak to us this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day that we come together as a church, Lord, where we're going to talk about you, Lord, and your coming into this world. Lord, all of us have heard these stories a million times. If we've been raised in the church, we've heard them. If we've watched the Charlie Brown special, we've seen it. Lord, we've heard this story time and time again. We've heard about your coming, Lord. And so I pray, Lord, that you would remove any dullness of mind in our minds today and in our hearts, any dullness that there would be toward the incarnation of God, that you would fill us again with awe and wonder of your coming, Lord. Because it is an awesome thing, Lord. So we ask you, Lord, to work this way in our hearts this morning and bless this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I may have lost my voice on a holy night. Let's read the passage again together. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own. His own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. There are times when we stand before you to preach that it seems like our preaching is in vain because the passage is so powerful and so lovely that I feel like we could repeat it time and time again and never grow tired of reading it and emphasizing different parts of this passage, because it is really a beautiful depiction of Christ's coming. I'd like to start with the first point, which is the true light, which Brother Robert even hit on as he was praying, because it says the true light. And true, in definition, is this: in every respect corresponding to the idea signified by the name, real and true and genuine. That which is not only the name and the semblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name. In other words, when we say that Jesus is the light, he is the original. He is the genuine light. His name means that. When we say he is the true light, he is the true light. Everything else is an imitation of the true light because he is what that name says. He is the true light. He's not a light. He's not a reflection of a light. He is the true light. This is the message that we have heard in 1 John 1 from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The very nature of Jesus is light. Again, he is not like a light. He is the light. Revelation 21:22 says, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." Just that for me is enough to sit there and relish in Jesus being the true light. The wonder of that. The deity that is being expressed right there in that sentence, the true light. When someone tells you that the Bible doesn't say that Jesus is God, I want to tell them, read it again. And read it again and again. Because if God is light and Jesus is the true light, guess what John is saying here when he says Jesus is the true light? He is saying that he is God, just like the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. There is no qualms. You can change the words in the first verse if you want to. You can mess with the translation, but there's too much about Jesus that says that he is God, the true light. And God was coming into the world, is what this is saying. And the Lord already starts off giving something to us, because this light gives light to everyone and was coming into the world. The Lord, the incarnation of Jesus, was bringing this gift of illumination to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. And I'm really glad that it was to the Gentiles as well. Amen. In verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Jesus is eternal life, and that life is the light of men. Simeon's words in the temple when Jesus was brought on the day of Mary's purification and dedication of the child, he took a baby Jesus in his arms and blessed God for letting him see God's salvation. In Luke's recording of the gospel, it says, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel. Jesus is the light of Christmas. He is the light that God the Father sent down. And my brother John was saying it beautifully this morning. The thought of God the Father and God the Son being separated in his, when John was praying, was just like weighing on me, that Jesus took on flesh and was no longer in the bosom of the Father. And he did this to give everyone light. And then we have this phrase in verse 10, we have these words. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Again, if you have any doubt of who Jesus is and who we believe Jesus is from God's word, the world was made through him. Genesis 1 tells us who made the world. In fact, John 1 rings like Genesis 1. Emmanuel, God with us, he was in the world and the world was made through him. If the world was made by him, again, clearly he is the Lord. The Bible does not attribute creation to anyone but God. Therefore, John is clearly stating, once again, without a doubt, this is God in the flesh, God incarnate, the same God that we've read about in Genesis. If you read that Bible chronologically in the next 2 years, let me tell you, by the time you get to the prophets and you're finishing up, you're like, Jesus is coming, people. He's coming. Because the promise was made time and time again. Do you know that in Genesis, the promise was first made when God cast judgment on the serpent and Eve and Adam? At that time, God said that those two seeds would go at enmity, have enmity with each other, and that her seed would crush his head, the serpent's head. From the beginning, the promise of a seed to come was given. And who, you're telling me that a man is going to crush Satan's head? No. So in many subtle ways and in many ways that is fulfilled as Jesus comes into the world, we see that God has had this plan. Like Pastor Bernie said last week, there was no plan B. This was the plan from the beginning. And God is being glorified and showing his glory by taking on flesh and coming to give light to everyone in the world. And then there's this first tragic statement here. The very first tragic statement, yet the world did not know him. The world was made through him, but it didn't know him. It reminds me of Romans 1, if you want to turn there, 18 through 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Listen to this. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. It is one thing to believe that God exists. It is another thing to live and respond as if he exists. It is one thing to believe there is a God. I believe there's a God. Many people tell you, I believe there's a God. I believe in God. It's another thing to live and respond as if he exists. It says here in Romans that they knew God, they had a knowledge of God, but they didn't honor him or give him thanks. And that led to futility of mind. It led to darkness, it says. So the light had come into the world, yet the world did not know him. In Matthew 8, 6, and 10, though, we see that when we say that he came into the world, yet the world did not know him, we're going to find that there are those who, obviously, as we continue the path, that knew the Lord. The Roman centurion says to Jesus, when, hey, I have a servant who's sick, who's paralyzed, can you heal him? And Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion says, no, you don't have to come. Just say it, and it'll happen. Because I'm a man under authority, and I have authority over others. And if I tell this servant to go, he goes. And if I tell this one to come, he comes. And whatever I say, they do. So just speak it, and it'll be. And Jesus was marveled that a Roman centurion had this understanding of God. That Jesus had authority, that he had the power to do it without having to go there. The world did not recognize Jesus was the light, but some, thankfully, did. But the world did not recognize that Jesus is the light. The second tragic statement is, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And I just think of the heartbreak of that, that his own people did not receive him. If that first one wasn't tragic, this one is even more tragic. Because they were the people of the promise. They are the people of the promise. It had come to them that the Messiah would come through their line, through the line of David. That they're the ones, the Jewish people are the ones who wrote the Old Testament and have all the promises in there, written to them, the prophecies of Jesus. Yet he came and they received him not. Herod, in Matthew 2, when the Magi come to visit him, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him, which I find, again, just fascinating. These magi, probably from Babylon in that area, have come to worship him. And Herod the king heard this. He was troubled. And then there's this peculiar phrase here, and all Jerusalem with him. And that little part always kind of just like gnaws at me, and all Jerusalem with him. I wish somebody had a really good all Jerusalem with him explanation for me, because it doesn't satisfy me, the explanations I've read. But it says that Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now, Herod was not Jewish. He was an Edomite, and he was ruling over the Jews. So it could be that there was more of an Edomite influence, and maybe that's what it means. But it says, again, that he came to his own did not receive him. So he secretly asked the wise men, Gentiles, to find the child, and he does it secretly because he doesn't want anyone to know of his plot to kill the baby, to kill the king of the Jews. And in fact, he later orders the execution of all the boys in Bethlehem 2 years and older, or 2 years old and younger. So here you have Herod, and Jerusalem is troubled with him, and Jesus has come into the world, and Magi, Gentiles from the east, have come to tell them, hey, the Savior has come, the King of the Jews has come. And he has to actually go and ask the Pharisee, the scribes, and ask them, Is it true what they're saying? They point him to the same passage that out of Micah that Pastor Bernie read this morning. And yet, he's not getting a reception. In fact, there's no room for him in the inn. It's almost as if God is coming into the world that he's created. The world doesn't want him, and neither do his own people that he's been promised to. The Jews say also of Jesus, is not this the carpenter's son? When Jesus was coming back to Nazareth, to his hometown, they're like, isn't this the carpenter's son? Where did he come from? Where did he get this wisdom from? It's like, basically, in some ways, isn't this the carpenter's son? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, who happens to have brothers and sisters that are listed here in the scripture, who we know maybe isn't really the carpenter's son. So Jesus even comes to Nazareth, his hometown, and he says these words, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So much so was he came to his own and he wasn't received, that he came to his own hometown and wasn't received there. The light of the world, who has come to give light to everyone, is tragically being rejected. My question is, has much changed? Has much changed today? Today, Jesus is the unwanted guest, of honor at his own birthday celebration. Think about that. He is the unwanted guest of honor at his birthday celebration. We can't say Merry Christmas. We don't have Christmas break anymore in school. It's winter break, when everybody knows we're celebrating Christmas. He is the unwanted guest at his birthday party. If we ask people, what is Christmas about? Some people say, Christmas is about gifts. Nope. Christmas is about Santa. Nope. Christmas is about trees and lights and pretty decorations. Again, nope. Christmas is about family. Nope. We don't say Merry Giftmas, Merry Santamas, Merry Treemas, Merry Familymas. Because Christ Mass is about Christ and his coming. The incarnation of God, the Creator, Jesus Christ, whose name the holiday proclaims. It's almost like what the word true means. Well, Christmas is about Christ. I don't know how we've lost that he is the guest of honor, and why we have to say Jesus is the reason for the season. It's like, hello, his name's on the holiday itself. But you know what we do? Still today, we exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. If this is Christmas, we have a problem. I like poinsettias. I like decorations. I like lights. I have them inside my car 24/7, 365. I like Santa hats. So, is there anything wrong with Christmas lights and having family together and having, is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But we end up focusing on the things that were created. Why are we so prone to idolatry that we spend so much time on things that the light came and created? He created the world and everything in it, and nothing that has been made has not been made by him. And we focus on things. And we should be focusing on the Creator, who came and took on flesh. And I have to confess, just like many of you probably have to confess, when the Christmas season comes, we get really busy keeping up with all these things, making sure that all these things are out and on the house and in our cars and that we're going to Christmas parties and we're doing all these things that Christmas brings, but we're not spending any time with the birthday boy. And we get busy and we're robbed of the best part of Christmas, which is Jesus himself. So there's nothing wrong with these things. There's nothing wrong with spending time with your family. But we need to strive to remember that this is about Christ. The world has taken it and is just building up the idols on the other side, which influence us. I mean, if you watch any Christmas movies like my family does, my daughter Janelle this year has been like, that's not a Christmas movie, Dad. I'm like, yeah, it's a Christmas movie. It's got Christmas in it. No, Dad, it's not a Christmas movie. And so we've been going back and forth. I bring up these movies. It's like, that's not a Christmas movie. I'm like, but it's around December. It's Christmas. And so we have been influenced. We've grown up in the culture. And we sometimes push Jesus out. And it's sad, but it's true. And we need to strive toward keeping him in here because there's good news. The light has come. The good news is verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave. Oh, he gave again. He gave us light and then he gave again. He gave us the right to become the children of God. God is a gift giver. You can have that gift today. It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Christmas is about God's greatest gift. Christmas is the gospel. Christmas is God giving his son. It's the beginning of that gift being given. Jesus was born to go to the cross. Jesus was born to take on your sin and my sin. He was born for that. He came for that, to give light, to rescue us out of darkness. The most famous verse in the world, in the New Testament, I would say. What do you think it is? John 3:16. Thank you. I'm glad I wasn't wrong. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, and I use the King James, in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Good news of great joy. God has sent his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you have to receive him for yourself. Your mommy and your daddy, they can't do that work for you. Your tía, your tío, your heritage, Baptist heritage, Catholic heritage, whatever it is, that won't do it for you. You must believe. Whosoever believeth. So it's on you individually to believe and trust and repent and turn to the light of the world. He came for individuals. He didn't come to save nations in a salvific way of all of the USA is saved because we celebrate Christmas. No, he came for individuals to believe on him. Listen to three verses after the most famous New Testament verse in the entire world. Verse 19, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their works were evil, For everyone who does wicked things, and that would be all of us in this room, including the guy up here preaching, hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Right after the greatest gift, we find that same reality again in John 3, that people, we just love our sin. We don't want to bring it out to the light because we're ashamed, we're afraid. We're just like Adam and Eve hiding in the bush all over again. We do just like that. We go to hide in the darkness, hide in the shade, get out of the sun, go hide. God wants to expose our sin. Jesus came as the light to expose our sin so that we could see that that perfect light is what we need to be perfected. That we're not perfect, but we need the perfect. He is the true light. His light and his life is perfect. And he came to show us that we are not perfect. Will you know and receive Jesus and become a child of God? God desires that. It's obviously he's given his son. If he didn't desire for that, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. God desires that you confess and turn from darkness, turn from your sins and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us in this room, which probably today are a majority, because we kind of gather, right? The believers are gathering today. Those of us in this room that have believed in Jesus, that is that he came as God, took on flesh so that he could die on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead to prove it. Guess what this verse says? We have no boasting in ourselves. We have been born of the will of God. It says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are about to go spend time with family who is living in darkness. The darkness is going to be all over the place and we're going to hear about it. And we might, in our own sinfulness, become judgmental about the fact that they're in darkness when we ourselves were saved by the light by God's grace. We were saved by the light by God's grace. So for us, for those who have believed, may God give us a heart and a mind like Christ to share the light in love and to restrain our judgment. It's not our place anyway. We have no right. We are not perfect. Only the perfect has that right. What I want to ask some of you today is today your day of spiritual birth? Is today the day that you need to trust in Christ and turn from your sins? Is today the day that you need to decide to follow Jesus and believe in him and trust in the true light? Not because your mom and dad say so, not because they've shown you this way, not because Pastor Bernie says it or George says it, but because you believe that Jesus is the true light, that he came to save you from your sins. Is today the day of your spiritual birth? Yesterday we had a wonderful time of proclaiming the gospel in song at the mall down the street. And that's really the only opportunity we had. We had some opportunities to invite some folks to church. We had some opportunities to hand out some tracts. But there we were proclaiming that Jesus is born. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. We're walking down by the Cheesecake Factory and the people outside are clapping with them. Go tell it on the mountain. And there was this opportunity to tell people about the light of Christ. Today is your opportunity. I'm not going to assume that you're in this room and that you're all saved and here we are celebrating Christmas once again. Have you trusted in Christ? Have you for yourself taken the gift that God has given you? I encourage you, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to call upon the name of the Lord. That would be a great Christmas present. In closing, I would like just to read the last verse from our passage of Scripture. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you, all our hope is in you, all the glory to you, God. The light of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the good news, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, you're the Lord of all, the Lord of all. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this truth that Jesus came to redeem lost sinners. He came to bring light into this world. Father, we who are here, who by your grace and by your will, Father God, have come to be called the children of God, what greater honor have we received, Lord? We bless your name. We thank you, Jesus. Oh Lord, redeem our days that we have left in this season, Lord, to be Christ-centered, Lord. Father God, bless our days that we have left with family, Lord, with friends, Lord, to share the love of Christ with them, to proclaim in song, in carols, in word, your truth, Lord, that you have come, that we are celebrating the birth of Christ, the incarnation of God, the beginning and the giving of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, and bless your name. And all God's people said, amen.
Christ Community Church is a God-glorifying, Christ-exalting, and Bible-centered body of believers who love God and love people by making disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information on our ministry, please visit our website at www.christcomchurch.org. That's Christcomchurch.org.